So trying to compete with God is a tough one, isn't it, sometimes, isn't it? When you're in God's presence and you feel God's love, you want more and more of it, don't you? And all of us need more of God and less of us. Less of us. More of you, God, less of me. Wouldn't that be awesome if all of us could be more like Jesus Christ, more like God, and less like ourselves sometimes, that human self of us? You know, the split personality that we have. Well, maybe I have. Okay, you don't have it, but I do possibly. Right, where you're part human and part like God, and some days you do better than others, right? And so that's why we need to continue to be in God's presence all the time and be able to understand and hear and know the word of God, the voice of God, the guidance of God, so that we know that we can make the right decisions, make the right kind of actions that we take, as well as, back to words, I have to say it, what we say to one another. What we say to one another is so important. So we're going to go into the book of Proverbs this morning. Just happens to be chapter 17 is just replete with some good words of wisdom as it relates to how to have better relationships with one another. Because I don't know about you, I have a great relationship with God. And God has a great relationship with me. Sometimes the relationships I have with others, if I'm not acting godly, it's not such a good relationship, is it? And I guess maybe, just maybe, if it's true for me, it's also true for you, right? Sometimes we would like to be more like God, wouldn't we? We'd like to say and do and think more like God, more loving, more kind, more generous, more compassionate, more empathic, more, just more of God, more loving, which is unconditional love. Wouldn't we all want to do that? Wouldn't you like to be treated by people that are act like God? Yes, we want that. And wouldn't it be great if we were the people treating other people like God? Wow, we'd have like an awesome church, wouldn't we? Oh, yeah, we already do. But we're going to continue to focus on that, learn about that, and put the words of God through the power of wisdom, godly wisdom, into all of our lives. Because I don't know about you. Anybody here ever have a conflict with somebody else by chance? A disagreement? A misunderstanding? Anybody here that's always right besides me? And the other person is usually wrong? And sometimes there's this dissertation back and forth proving to one another how, because both of us many times think we're right, right? We're always right. All of us are right, aren't we? Except for when we're wrong. But needless to say, needless to say, many times I call it what having like a verbal tug of war. Anybody play tug of war as a kid? Am I too old? Is that what happened? I'm showing my age here. Tug of war, where essentially, you know, you get two teams together, right? And you get a big rope and you got something in the middle and there's a line between it and you're trying to pull the other person over to your side, right? And you're using all your strength and all your might. And the other person's pulling which direction? The opposite direction. So they're pulling one way and you're pulling another. And the object of the game is to do what? Pull them over to your side and make them fall down and you win. It's all about winning, of course, right? You got to be stronger. You got to be more powerful. You got to have, in fact, when you pick your teams, you make sure you got somebody with some good muscles. If you're going to do a tug of war with somebody, you want to make sure you kind of stack the deck on your side, right? So you make sure you pull them over. Well, that's all fine and game for fun and games when it's a childish game. But when you become an adult person, we don't need to be in tug of war with one another, do we? God is not the God of tug and war, who's right, who's wrong, who's good, who's bad, all those kinds of things. God wants people where? On God's side, right? Come on over to our side. Come on over into the kingdom of God. Everybody's welcome. And so the key is when we have sometimes what I call verbal tug of war, where two people are going back and forth and just tugging, pulling, trying to pull them this way, and they're pulling that way, and you're pulling this way, and it's just, I mean, I don't know about you, but that's like wasted energy, is it not? And it's not always a good feeling, is it? How do you feel when you've been tugging and pulling, and then maybe they pull you over and you fall down? It's a negative feeling, is it not? And even if you win by knocking somebody else down, is that really winning? Of course not, right? So the Bible is teaching us today that one of the things I want to teach you, if you have any kind of conflict with someone else and a disagreement, and you're trying to get them over to your side for whatever reason you are, one of the things I want you to do is for you to drop the rope. Drop the rope. Meaning this, if somebody's pulling in another direction, instead of you pulling back in the opposite direction, you just let go. You just drop it. Instead of having to be right, instead of having to coerce somebody into your way of thinking, and instead of trying to force somebody to believe what you believe, you don't win over people by doing things that are obstinate and against them and pulling against them, do you? So we're going to drop the rope. So, you know, sometimes even when you're right, you can cause a person to understand your point of view if you'll also be willing to understand their point of view as well. When you listen to them, when you care more about understanding a person than you do in being right and having your way and winning the argument. Anybody here besides me persistent? Some people might call it stubborn, determined, and win at all costs. And if you grew up in a family like I did with obstinate, both parents obstinate towards each other and adversarial back and forth, it was a tennis match that wasn't very pleasant to watch when one person was against the other and back and forth. And it's just hard to watch things like that, isn't it? Arguing like that just for the sake of it. My family, I would probably call them the Bickersons, even though they were the Stones or the Bickersons. Because they could bicker, they could stay up for hours on end talking about, you know, whatever it was. That the next day you thought, what was that they started about anyway? So, back to the Bible. So I want to help us have better relationships, I guess is what I'm saying. And I want us to realize that silence is okay when someone else maybe doesn't agree with you or doesn't understand you. It's okay for you not to have to force your opinion upon them. That would be okay. And we watch Jesus throughout his ministry, even though he was challenged and people didn't believe in him, what he would do was love them anyway, right? He would feed them anyway. He would heal them anyway. And then through showing his love to them and his compassion towards them, that would attract people to him. We want to pull people towards us when we're Christians, right? Because we want to be more like God. God is a God of reconciliation, bringing people together back with God and having one accord. And it's okay to agree to disagree if necessary. That would be okay. But some fights that we get into aren't really very helpful. They're not good at all, to say it the least. So back to Proverbs. I'm going to get there. Chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 9 says this: disregarding another person's faults preserves love. So disregarding. Anybody here ever notice anybody who has any faults? Has anybody been so kind to you that they overlooked your faults and loved you anyway? Don't you love people like that? Aren't you glad that the scriptures tell us that when we overlook someone else's faults, meaning we disregard them, that's not what we put our attention on. We don't speak about that to them. Disregarding them preserves love. Verse 14 says this: beginning a quarrel is like opening a floodgate. Don't you love it when somebody comes up to you and says, I got something I got to tell you. Can I see you? And you go, oh, I've been called to the principal's office. Now, if someone comes to us to give us feedback in love, is that okay? Of course. People are trying to help us grow and change, and there's ways to do those kinds of things, right? But at the same time, if we're coming at it from a, I gotta tell you something. This is what you just did. And whoever that might even be, our children, our parents, our siblings, our spouses. You know, there's nothing worse than walking into the kitchen and hearing, I had to clean up that mess. What mess? The mess you left last night? Makes you feel good inside, doesn't it? But what if that same person cleaned up the mess and didn't say anything to you about it? Different feeling, right? We can have better relationships with people if we're willing to drop it. Drop it. We don't have to tell everybody everything we're thinking about them, particularly if it's something of a negative nature. Right? Okay, good. Verse 27. A truly wise person uses few words. I better work on that one. A person with understanding is even tempered. And verse 28, even fools are thought to be wise when they keep silent. When they keep their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. So there's something to be said, or not said, about us picking our battles. When and if we want to speak to other people, we have to also keep in mind, is this something the Holy Spirit would have me say? And is this going to keep this person in good stead? And we can just disregard the piece of paper that's flowing away. Or you can pay attention to the Word of God. And I could be silent for a little while too. Oh, anyway, so point is this. Some of the worst arguments you never have are the best arguments. Some of the words you never say to somebody are the best words you'll never say. When you want to keep a relationship intact, and if somebody has something against you, and you have to hear them out, it's okay not to get defensive, too. If somebody gives you honest feedback and is really doing it in a loving, caring way to try to help you improve, it's okay not to do a tug of war and explain to them why you did what you did and all those sorts of things. Because here's the thing I know about God. God already knows everything we've ever done wrong, correct? God also sees every little thing we do, correct? And God also forgives us and disregards about 99% of the things that we do that are not okay. Because that's the kind of God we have who loves us. Now, God is also going to try to steer us in the right direction through guidance and direction and gentleness and kindness. And he's going to be someone who's going to help us feel as though, yes, I know I've done the wrong thing, but he's not going to beat us up about it. And so if God doesn't beat us up and harm us and cause us to be punished for the things we've done wrong, what possible right do we have to do that to somebody else? None. And therefore, when we decide that we're going to be more godly, there's going to be a lot of things that you're going to have to overlook that other people do that step on your toes or bother you. You're just going to have to overlook people's idiosyncrasies and little quirks that they have and some of their imperfections. Because what do you want in return? Them to look over yours, right? And so as we're continuing to grow to be more and more like Christ, I'd like you, each time that you feel that urge, that you just got to get into it with them. You just got to be right one more time, and you got to win that tug-of-war battle. I pray that you will simply drop the matter. Just drop it. Let it go. You ever heard the saying that don't sweat the small stuff? Do you know that it's all small stuff? The things that we really get ourselves irritated about sometimes, particularly the slow guy in front of you at the red light who doesn't know where the accelerator is. And, you know, short of having a megaphone on the front of your hood that the person you, if you had a microphone in your car and it could come out the front grill and say, move! Oh, that's called a horn, right? Right? I don't know about you, but, you know, if I'm stopped at a red light and, you know, I get a text or whatever, and it's something important, and I'm looking down at it, you know, and I'm like, I know the light's red, and I'm paying kind of attention, but I'm looking at something important right here, right now, right? And the horn blows, my heart just like, whoa! And then, you know, your foot goes on the gas, and you hit the guy in front of you because you just, like, respond so quickly. And then who am I yelling at? The person that texted me. If they didn't text me, I wouldn't have to look at this text, and I wouldn't, no. Anyway, see, so the key is we have to be even-tempered. I don't know about you, but I grew up with a hot-tempered person. There are more holes in my house, not to renovations, but through fists. That was a violent, toxic family dynamic that I grew up in. And if I'm not careful, I have that gene within me because sometimes I get a little upset. I get a lot upset. I get really upset. That's the human part, right? The Bible says, get angry, but don't sin. So listen. Even though we come from those kind of places, we don't have to be that kind of person now, do we? We can all change and grow to be more like who Jesus Christ is, can't we? We have to constantly have a strong relationship, strong enough relationship with God, that we become more and more and more like Him and less and less and less like who we were. And by doing that, the things that used to upset us, the things that used to bother us, the things that irritate us, no longer do. But you have to be willing, first and foremost, to begin to practice dropping it. Dropping the tug of war rope with others. Even and especially when you're right and you know it, and they should know it too. And as soon as I can convince them 22 hours later, everything will be great. Here's the thing. You can be right, but you can also be very alone. I don't know about you, but I would rather have people in my life than out of my life because of the way I speak to them or treat them. Right? So we have to control us. Self-control is one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 6. Go back and read it. Self-control. So the next time, and then maybe I'm just talking to myself this morning. I don't really know. But probably I am. But needless to say, for those of you that may have this similar kind of thing going on, the next time you find that you're in this back and forth with someone, you start to realize, wait a minute, I need to stop talking, start listening, and drop the rope. Get on their side. Understand where they're coming from. See what they need. Especially, perhaps, if they don't have what we have in terms of the power of the Holy Spirit. Be more loving, be more kind, be more compassionate. And it's pretty hard to argue with only one person. Am I correct? And I know some of you argue with yourselves because I have that same voices in my head going on back and forth. And I have to tell them, go settle down and call on God. Call on God to give you the words to speak. Jesus had great and awesome wisdom. He knew when to speak, when not to speak. He knew when to come back and give direction. He knew the right questions to ask. But he always came at people from a point of wanting to understand them and to love them. He cared more about being in relationship with them. Why do you think he kept saying, come follow me? He wanted people drawn to him. So to be adversarial towards them would do him absolutely no good, would it? That would push people away. So if you want stronger, better, more loving relationships, spend more time with God, first and foremost. Look at the Word of God. Silence can be golden. And if somebody else wants to start a dissertation or disagreement with you, just drop the rope and have a time of peace and quiet and just listen to what they have to say. And then peace will happen, won't it? Peace will happen. Another gift of the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I don't know what you got going on. I know we want more of God. We want more love, and we want more to be more loving, don't we? So don't sweat the small stuff. And remember, it's all small stuff. And if it's big stuff, you give it to God and let God handle it for you. And I do have to tell you the truth. Sometimes we're wrong. I had to say it. And sometimes you can learn a lot more from listening to another person's point of view than only expounding on your own. You never really learn by talking as much as you do by listening to someone, especially when they're speaking words of wisdom, like I am this morning. So the next time you have something that you have to certainly tell somebody about, pray about it first, ask God to guide you through it, come at it from a loving perspective, and do it so that the outcome is that you maintain the relationship. That's the most important thing you have with another human being, is a positive, loving relationship. So do it so that it's a win-win, where both of you feel better at the end of the conversation than one of you feeling like you've been victorious and the other person loses something. We want to be in win-win relationships, don't we? So guess what would happen if both people decided to put down the rope? Those are the best, awesome, most wonderful relationships. So those of us that are in relationship with anybody else, anybody know anybody? Oh, I see people that know. Oh, yeah. So we're all in relationship with one another, including people on Facebook. And boy, oh, boy. Please disregard some of the things that you see as posts on Facebook. Disregard it. You don't have to answer back to them and prove why you're right. How about you just scroll down and just put something out there that's good and positive and loving. And maybe, just maybe, people might find some good in that instead. So we want to be truth tellers. That God loves us all, but we not only want to tell it, we want to show it by our words and by our silence. So if you want to pick a fight with me, today would be the day to do it. Because I'm going to put down the rope. You're going to fight all by yourself. Have at it. How about we give a virtual hug instead? Amen? Amen.